Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and glad to be back.
Glad you're back.
And to Atlanta, to New York, and to Canada, and Niagara Falls, and boy, it was an experience. When you guys come over, I'm going to show the video. You have no choice. You have to watch the video. Okay.
Sunday dinner.
You're going to see all the vacation video. Okay. So again, hopefully you got your handout in the back. Handout on session one after all those weeks. We're now finally on session one. Your book again, Battle Plan of Prayer. And I know you didn't have your handout before this class, but hopefully you read the chapter in here, because this is what we're going to be studying today. So anyway, let's open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege to come before the throne of grace, Lord God, when we need help, Lord God, when we need peace, Lord God, when we need joy, Lord God, you give it all, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, because we know it is not by our goodness, it is by your grace, and it's by your mercy that we can come, Lord. We thank you that the veil is torn, and there is no limit to how close we can come to you, Lord God. So we just thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come and not just hover, but penetrate into our hearts and into our minds. Break up the hardened ground, Lord, in our mind, Lord God, and give us a fresh revelation of your word, a fresh revelation, Lord God, of your spirit. And we thank you and we praise you and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I don't know if I told you all, but Tressa, our little Tressa, moved. She moved to Texas, and I don't know if we ever said that, but that's why she hasn't been here. But she had her last son, and I think she just didn't want anybody to make a big fuss, so she didn't even tell me till the end of class, and everybody was gone, you know. But that's where Tressa is gone. So we just continue to pray for Tressa. You know, she lived her up. She was with us for a season, and we pray that she was blessed. And you know, she's gone back to Texas. I think that's where she's originally from. So as we go forward, we're going into session one, which is the legacy of prayer. And our key verse is, O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. And I love that. That right there just says a lot. It just has a lot of tact, a lot of power in it. O you who hear prayer. Ladies, there's handouts right at the table there. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. And that's Psalm 65 and 2. You know, and I'm glad that God hears prayer. You know, I believe he hears all prayer. You know, but what we're studying in this class is, boy, how do we make prayer more effective? You know, the Bible talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we studied that scripture just a few weeks ago. And we want to see how we make prayer more effective. So today, as we talk about the legacy of prayer, we did our introduction. We talked about the symbol of the cross, hair symbols, and what it means. We talked about the cross, how it's so important. Before we can even begin to talk about prayer, we got to talk about the cross. And the cross means relationship with Christ, you know. And God calls us his own, you know, and that comes only from the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You cannot be out there and not his own. And want prayer to be effective. That's all right. That's all right. You guys get comfortable. However you need. Rose is disrupting the class again, y'all. She's starting her ruckus again. So.
So I want that. I'm settling down.
So as we were talking about the cross, so it's important that, you know, you truly look at your relationship with Christ when you talk about prayer. You know, you can't just come blankly. You can't come without any type of relationship and expect all of this, because God makes a distinction between those that are his and those that are not his when it comes to prayer. You know, he hears all prayer, you know, but there is a distinction that he makes with his children when we talk about prayer. So we talk about the cross and coming to the cross. We talked about the vertical line. So beyond the cross, there's the relationship between you and Christ. that vertical line that has to be ever thriving and ever growing. You know, salvation, your salvation should never be stagnant. Okay, if you know anything stagnant is set up for something to grow in it. You sit a glass of water on the table in your nice clean house, and I guarantee you in a week or something, week or two, something will be growing in that water, okay? Mm-hmm. Because anything stagnant is set up for stuff to start growing. So we want to always make sure our vertical relationship is ever growing, ever thriving. God wants that. That's why Christ died, so we could have that relationship that's ever growing and ever thriving. Then we talked about the horizontal lines, our relationship with each other, and how important that is to God. In fact, we talked about God won't even hear. He said, I don't want to even hear. I don't even want to have your offering. I don't even want your gifts until you get it right with your brother and sister. And that's heavy, but that is how important our relationship with each other is to God. He looks at how we treat each other and how we do each other. And he always wants to make sure that needs to be clear before we come to him in prayer. He said, leave your gift. You know, it wasn't like you were even asking for something. He said, leave what you're even offering to me, whether it's your talent, we think about our gifts, our talents, whatever you have. You know, you think God needs it? No, he doesn't. He would rather see you have good relationship with each other than to have your gift. So that scripture, so that horizontal line piece was so important. And then we talked about the inner circle and how important the inner circle was. And the inner circle is where you meet with God. That's your prayer time. That's your prayer closet, folks. How important that is, that you're meeting with God. And the inner circle is where God deals with you. Okay, the inner circle is not about you talking about God, deal with this one and help Rose and help Terry. No, the inner circle is about God, help Karen. Lord, show me what I need to be dealing with right now. Show me where my shortcomings are. Show me where I've fallen short. The inner circle is an intimate place where you meet with God, and sometimes you don't even have to say anything. God will bring it up. You need to deal with, and you can fill in that blank. You know, and some of us, we can fill in that blank, and we kind of know that God is wanting to deal with us with certain things. Certain things we don't want to deal with because they're painful. You know, memories that you don't want to deal with, but God wants to deal with it because it's hindering you, and he knows that, and he wants you free. Oh, my God, he wants you set free. So the inner circle, that's your prayer time. That's your daily prayer, and that's your prayer closet. So the inner circle is so important. So when we get through all of that issue, then we come to the place where we're ready to talk about, oh, you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Now you're ready to come. Now we're ready to talk about how we pray. So in the question at the top of your handout is, why pray? Why do we even have to go through this? When God knows it, why do we have to pray? What can prayer accomplish is the question in our book. Prayer can accomplish what a willing God can accomplish. I'll say that again. Prayer can accomplish what a willing God can accomplish. It is a beautiful and mysterious, awe-inspiring gift. You know, and you wonder, as people says, why should I pray when God already knows? I get hot and I need my fan. So just pardon me while I find it. Okay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. For fan. Okay, yeah, I know. There's fire shut up in my bones, folks, right now. So, you know, what can prayer? What is? It's a beautiful. It's mysterious, and it's an awe-inspiring gift. Do you understand? Prayer is a gift. Do you understand that veil was torn? Do you understand that you have the privilege of prayer? And your lesson says there's no greater privilege for anyone than being able to personally talk with and speak into the ears of the Almighty. And this is from our book. This is a privilege. You are able to speak into the ears of the creator of the universe. That's what prayer is. Consider the success of men and women who have held to a life of prayer. I have yet to meet a man or woman who lived a life of prayer that have lived a life of failure. And that is so powerful. That is, and I, you know, the author of the book was saying that, but I would say that too. You know, when you meet people of prayer, you know they're people of prayer. You can tell. You just talk to them for like 60 seconds and you can tell there's something different about this person, you know, that they are a person of prayer. You can, oh, you can just feel it from them, you know, and the humility. I found that when they're people of prayer, they're also, there's this humility that is upon them. You know, I remember I got to mention our dear Pastor Wilson. And, you know, I remember when I was first come to the church and he just preached this wonderful sermon, I was saying, oh, Pastor, that was such a good sermon. He says, yeah, but isn't God good? I mean, just immediately shifted the attention from himself to God. And I saw that, and I thought that was so beautiful and so amazing. That, and I knew, I said, this is a man of prayer. I know this is a man of prayer because he did that. He didn't, you know, take that glory for himself. So they're always people that are successful. Your lesson says, although they have faced many giants in their lives, their overall life was one of success and purpose for God and purpose. That is so important. You need to underline that. Success and purpose. It's not about being successful. You know, it's not about the one who dies with the most toys or gifts wins, you know, that the world tells us that the one who collects the most for themselves wins. No, it's about purpose, too, before God. He was with them. Let us review a few of these lives. So as we look at the lives, and we're going to start off just talking about people that are in the Word of God. Abraham, first of all, Abraham talked with God, which led him to step out in faith and leave his comfort zone of friends and family to go to a land that God would show him. You know, prayer ignited a great obedience that defied reason and resulted in the creation of a nation that changed the world forever. Because this man was obedient, it changed the world forever. He had to leave his friends. You know, the Bible is very clear. Get out from amongst your friends and amongst your, even your family, you know, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Didn't even tell him where he was going. But God just said, get out and get up. And sometimes God will tell him that. And because he had a relationship with God, he was able to be obedient. When you have a prayer life, you can be obedient. You know, I know before I had a prayer life, it was hard for me to be obedient to some of the things I thought God was telling me to do. You know, I was like, you know what? I have to go and talk to them. Oh, you want me to give them $20? You know, and I didn't want to approach the you want me to go pray with them? You know, it was hard for me to be obedient because I didn't have a strong prayer life. But as my prayer life became strong, I'm like, you know, I'm going because he said to go. And we've got this thing going on now. We've got this relationship. So prayer will ignite obedience in your life. You'll be able to move when God.
Even if you have to
wear your car. That was a hard one. That was my final exam on that one. She's talking about when I gave away my car. Yeah, I went from not being able to do $20 to giving
away. When you said $20, I'm like, eventually.
Yeah. He brought me along. You know, I keep telling you, I was talking about mean Karen and stingy Karen, too. She was stingy, man. She was, you know. Been there, done that, somebody said.
Something about the name Karen. I gave my car away to.
Yeah, you gave your car to your Karen. Got another Karen. Welcome, Karen. We have a visiting Karen here today. So prayer can bring the most reluctant heart to obedience to God. You know, so don't worry about if your heart is that way. Keep praying. Cultivate your prayer life. You know, I had to stop focusing on, okay, I just got to pray enough so I can be able to give $20 away. Lord, you know, I stopped focusing on that and just start focusing on my prayer life. Lord, I'm going to get up and we're going to talk today. We're going to go through scripture today. And when that relationship started to be cultivated, everything else just kind of fell in place. Just like the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, which is the relationship with God, and all the other things will be added. And things started to be added to me, and I didn't even realize they were being added. Loving people. Oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, I'm tearing up. What is this? You know, that's not me to tear up, you know, not over this. But, you know, the love of God will start to show up in your life, and you won't know where it's coming from except that relationship that you started to cultivate. You know, get your Bible study going and your prayer life going. Start to talk to him. And I talk to God just like I'm talking to any other person. I talk to him all day. You know, I'm not talking to myself. People say I talk to myself. I talk to God. I talk to him about everything because he knows everything. Lord, where is... I'm like my mom now. Where are my shoes, Jesus? I need my shoes. Jesus. My mom used to do. I'm like, God has better things to do than to find your shoes. But she would find it. So, you know, it can take the most reluctant heart and make it obedient to God. Even when the obedience does not make sense to you or to others, God can change your heart because you do it just out of obedience. You do it because he asks you to, and that's all you need. He asked me to do it, so I'm going to do it. No, it doesn't make sense. No, this is my last $20, but he asked me to do it, so I'm going to do it. The existence of a nation of Israel is helped to establish. Because of Abraham's obedience, the nation of Israel exists today to establish the truth and the hope of the word of God. Israel, I mean, I can't say enough about how important Israel is, because Israel proves that the Bible is true. Yes. You know, they can't deny. You know, they read that Bible and they're reading about this nation. And if Israel didn't exist, people would think that the devil could lie to people and tell them it was a fairy tale. But because it exists, because you see the history still going on today, the conflict still going on today, and the issues still going on today about this tiny nation, you know, okay, this is what was going on back then. So we know the Bible is true, and it came all about because of the obedience of one man. As we talk about somebody else, Isaac, the son of Abraham. Isaac talked with God, and on a womb that was barren bore a son that became the father of the nation in which Christ would come. Because Isaac, you know, he prayed for Rebekah, and Rebekah, of course, gave birth. Prayer ignited a faith in a father that moved God to bring life to a barren womb. See, prayer ignites faith, too. You know, sometimes we waffle in our faith and, you know, I wish I had faith like this one. I wish I had faith like that one. Boy, they can just believe God for anything. Keep cultivating that relationship, folks. As I said, it'll be added. One day you're going to believe God. I just believe God. I just believe God. I believe he spoke to me that that's not going to happen, and that's not going to happen. You know, faith will be ignited as you pray. So we're talking about why pray. You pray so you can cultivate obedience to God. And God is so good, you want to be obedient to him, okay? You pray so that faith would be ignited in your life. And you won't have to be one of these people that if I don't see it, I'm not doing it. If all the ducks are not in a row, I'm not moving. You'll be a person that'll jump, that'll get out there and jump and leap for God. You know, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to land, but you told me to go, so I'm going to go. You'll be one of those people. Then we move on to Moses. Moses talked with God as a friend, and he gained the courage and strength to face the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh of Egypt, and a man that he released the people of God from slavery. So prayer ignited a courage fueled by the power of the living God that caused a man of slaves to stand before a king and set a nation free. Oh, man, when you start praying, you get courageous. You get courage. You're like, you know what? Nothing you all can do for me because God's got my back. And you'll walk around like that. You'll walk around like God has got your back. Because he really has your back. Folks, there was a time I could never stand, even in front of this group. I could not even stand up here and say what I'm saying. I couldn't stand before people and talk, believe it or not. You know, I mean, it would feel like someone was turning the volume down on my voice when I was made do any type of public speaking. I just couldn't do it. I was just so terrified, so full of fear because of it. But with my prayer life growing, oh my goodness, he's given me courage. Now I can stand before hundreds, even thousands, and say what God has told me to say. Because I found it's not about me. It's about him. You know, and if he's got my back, if you told me to do it, then I am just your maidservant, and I'm going to go do it. You can use my mouth to say what you want to say, Lord. You know, and that's what it's about. It's not about me. And I always tell you the story about the famous preacher, R.W. Shambaugh. you know, when he, you know, he preached and preached, and one day he was preaching and fell off the stage. And I mean, broke something, had to be hospitalized. But did you think that stopped him? He went in the hospital, got healed up, and was back preaching again. I would like,
praise God.
I said, I'm like, that would be the most embarrassing thing in the world. I don't think I would ever try to preach again. You know, that was my mindset. But seeing that, I'm like, boy, this is a person that's over themselves. See, prayer gets you over yourself. Because the reason why you don't do it is because you're thinking about you constantly. What are people going to think of me? And what if I stutter? And what if I do this? And what if I trip and fall? What if I fall off the stage? Oh, God, please. And all these things, our mind is always on us. So when you get over you, you can do what God has called you to do, because you realize it doesn't matter what they think of me. It doesn't matter if I'm embarrassed. All that matters is that I have done what he told me to do. So back to Moses. We get back to Moses. I mean, he came from slaves. You know, he found that out before he left Egypt. And then he murdered the Egyptian. And, you know, he ran off into the desert, you know, hiding and afraid of all the powerful Egypt. And back in the day, that was the most powerful nation on earth. You know, and Pharaoh, he was not to be fooled with. You know, so he was running and hiding, but God, because remember that burning bush experience? That was prayer. He was talking to God, and he had this experience with God, you know, and that's what prompted him and gave him the courage. And remember, he stuttered. You know, if you look in the Bible, he couldn't speak because he had a stutter, and that's why he made Aaron. Aaron, he, you know, God said, okay, Aaron will be your mouthpiece. Aaron will speak for you. But can you imagine going before Pharaoh and you got a stutter? You know, I was listening to T.D. Jakes one time do this lesson on this, and I was like, oh my God. And he was talking about, he said, God, I can't speak. And can you imagine talking like that? And God is telling you to go in front of the most powerful person on earth at that time. But that's exactly what God told Moses to do. And he had the courage to go back to Egypt where he was fleeing for his life and face Pharaoh. And that's what God will do when you have that relationship going. Folks, he'll make you courageous. Things that you couldn't do before, people you couldn't talk to, people you couldn't face before, God will put a courage in you so that you can go and do what he has told you to do concerning that person. Because he will have your back, and you will know that. So prayer will help you overcome your intimidation of anyone so that you can carry out the purposes, and that's key, the purposes of God. So we move on to David. David prayed morning and noon and night. Prayer ignited an intimacy with God. And boy, I love this part. Because David, I mean, you've read his Psalms and you see that this man had a relationship with God. He had such great intimacy with God. David was addicted to the presence of God in his life. He loved God so much that when confronted with his great sin of murder and adultery, he immediately confessed it and received God's justice. I mean, he was ready to receive God's justice. Yes, I did it. He didn't argue with the prophet when he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet. He didn't argue with Nathan. He said, when Nathan said, you are the man, he said, he immediately, went to confess. And that's why David was called a man after God's own heart. We got to get that. It wasn't because he was perfect. Because this kind of stuff where he committed murder and he committed adultery, he wasn't perfect. But when confronted, he repented. You know, nothing between his soul and his Savior. He said, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, was his prayer when he was praying for repentance. It's written, I believe it's Psalm 51, where he talks about that. Whatever you do, don't take your presence, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He was pleading before God, please don't cut off relationship with me, Lord. Because he had such an intimacy with God. And I'm telling you guys, if you pray and you cultivate that intimacy, it'll be the most wonderful relationship you have ever known in your existence. It'll be the most wonderful relationship. I know you love your mama. I know you love your daddy. You love your children. You love your spouses. I know you love, you know, but this relationship, will exceed all of them. I promise you, it will exceed all of them if you cultivate it, if you take the time. Like David, I mean, you'll be saying just like David, you'll be writing your own psalms about your relationship with God. So prayer ignited an intimacy with God. David was addicted to the presence of God in his life. He loved God so much that when confronted with his great sin of murder and adultery, he immediately confessed it and received God's justice. He was willing to, God, whatever you need to do, do it. His only plea was that God would not take his Holy Spirit from him. In Psalm 51, you see this. His intimacy with God was of more value to him than even his kingdom. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, that's how much he valued the intimacy with God. The intimacy of God brings greater understanding of his love and companionship with God that exceeds any other relationship. I'm telling you, once you remember David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what he was talking about, that intimacy. Taste and see that he is good. Sweeter than honey. He wrote that. And the honeycomb. It was just, he chose words that he could only think, you know, I don't even know what words can describe it. But he tried his best to just bring out words. If you think about honey and how sweet honey is, it it's just almost sickly sweet. And he was saying it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. That's what he was talking about, his relationship and his love with God. So as we go on in your lesson, it says, prayer continues to set men and women on fire for God. Prayer stokes the flames of your salvation and sets it ablaze for the purposes of God. God does not want your salvation stagnant, folks. You know, he wants to set it on fire for him. Prayer brings the perfect love that casts out fear. See, that's what it does. See, when you know God loves you, when you have in that relationship and you understand how much God loves you, it casts out fear. That's just like the scripture says, perfect love cast out fear. You're not afraid anymore. That's why I can stand before you now, because I know he loves me, you know, and I know he's got me. He's got my back, you know, that everything will be all right. You know, even if I do trip and fall, I know everything's going to be all right.
Right.
Oh, Lord, don't let that happen. Okay, But I'll be all right. You know, you learn as you get closer and closer to God, you realize that no matter what happens, he's got you and everything will be all right. Prayer brings the perfect love that casts out fear. Prayer brings clarity in a world gone mad. Oh, folks, if we ever needed clarity, because good and evil is being so clouded today. It is so clouded today that only if you have the relationship going can you have a clear picture of what is right and what is wrong. Because it's so foggy today. And this is why prayer is encouraged in the morning before your day begins. It brings obedience to God. It brings faith in God. It brings courage before God. And it brings intimacy with God. That's why you pray in the morning. Because all of these things come upon you as you pray. Prayer makes all the difference in your day. God has already seen your day. You have not. So it would behoove you to spend that time with him. If you wake up dragging and discouraged about the day, press into prayer. I don't know if you ever wake up. I'm sure you wake up sometimes. You're like, oh, God, I got to face the day. Or you know something's coming. Oh, man, I got to go to court today. Oh, God, I got to go to the meeting today. You know, and you can feel, oh, God, I got to deal with, you know, you fill in the blank today. You know, and the enemy is so quick to fill you with depression and oppression. You know, I wake up some days to feeling that way, and the enemy's trying to, I'm like, I just start praising him. Oh, I just praise your name, Lord. If I can't say anything but Jesus, I just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I just go into praise. And I tell you, the joy of the Lord just comes into me. And he tells me, I got your day. I got your day. I'm going before you. Don't worry. You just go on in it. And I'm amazed at how many times I'm thinking it's going to be so horrible and so terrible and I'm going to have to fight and swing it out. And I go in and there's just peace because he goes before you and he does it. You know, just worship and that praise. I'm telling you, that relationship is so important. So you press into prayer. You know, it's not going to be easy to pray. Don't think the enemy is just going to let you just pray. Don't let think the enemy is just going to let you cultivate a relationship with God, who is his enemy. Don't think he's going to do that. He is going to distract you. He's going to do all kind of things, but you press into prayer. As I said, you have a designated place for it. Okay, you have a designated place for everything else. You have a designated place for where you sleep. You have a designated place for where you cook. Do you have a designated place for where you pray? You should. That it's that important. Your sleep is important to you. Your food is important to you. Prayer. You know, Job said, I deem it more necessary than my food. That's what Job said. You know, so designate it. Pray on purpose. Don't let it be some passive thing that just happens. I'm going to pray, you know. And I know sometimes, you know, there can be things that happen. But don't make it a habit where you're just praying on the fly. You know, I'm just praying. I got 15 minutes as I'm driving to work, you know. And there's nothing wrong with praying in the car. I'm not saying that. But folks, pray on purpose. Pray undistracted. If you want to go to higher levels of prayer, you've got to have a time where you're praying undistracted. And pressing into prayer where God can speak to the recesses of your heart. Your lesson says prayer changes you, and that's so true. You don't even know it's happening, as I said before, but prayer changes you. Prayer makes you God's child beyond just a title, but a relationship. You don't just want the title of child of God. You want the relationship. You know, I know a friend of mine, she just calls God Daddy. She goes, Daddy said, and Daddy this, and Daddy. And it took me a while before I realized who she was talking about. But she would just talk about God. She would just say, and Daddy said, I talked to Daddy this morning. Daddy said it's going to be all right. And I'm like, aren't you like 40s or 50 years old? Why are you talking to your daddy? You know, and I realized who she was talking. She was talking about God. She called God Daddy. You know, and he said that in the scriptures, we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. I'm like, ooh, you know, isn't that beautiful that she calls him Daddy, you know, and that's what he wants. He said, you know, that intimate relationship. So prayer changes you. It makes you, goes beyond just a title of child of God, title of Christian. I'm a Christian. It's a title. Is it title? Is it more? Is it relationship? From the sniveling coward to the great warrior. See, that's where God will take you from. It is prayer that makes the difference. Prayer makes you true and genuine and a genuine child of the Most High God. Pretenders need not apply. I'm telling you, you can't pretend before him. He sees directly into your heart, you know. So he knows if you just have this stagnant relationship going on. And he knows those that are coming closing, that are drawing near, as he asks. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you, says the scriptures. He will only see the truly contrite heart, the hungry heart, oh, and the humble heart, and the repentant heart. I'm telling you, if you're full of pride, and I'm telling you, that pride, that is one thick barrier between you and God. You got to break down that pride. And I'm telling you, for every single human being on the planet, it's an issue. Okay, because that's where we fell in the garden. Humanity fell because of pride. You can be just like God. Oh, okay. So even though he said, I'm going to eat this, we all deal with it. Even the shy ones, the quiet ones, you know, they may not be as overt as other people, but I have found that all humans deal with an element of pride. And that can be a barrier when it comes to drawing close to God. He looks at the humble heart. He looks at the repentant heart. He looks at the hungry heart. You know, even if you don't know much about God, and I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to understand. You know, you see my life situation. You see my struggle. And he sees, yeah, I know you're trying. I know you got a hard situation, and I'm going to help you with it. But you got to come to me, and you got to hear me and cultivate relationship with me. These are the hearts that will change the world, these type of hearts. I'm telling you, we have to cast away so much that we grew up with, so much that we were taught growing up, you know, even about just society, living in a society. You know, you got to fend for yourself, and you got to, you know, you got to, you know, hear your own voice, and you got to, you know, do what feels right to you. And, you know, folks, I'm telling you, that stuff will kill you. That stuff will mess you up. And so many of us have found out that out the hard way. I'm going to do my own thing, you know. All the songs that you hear, you know, I'm just going to break out and do my own thing, you know. And I'm telling you, so many have ended up dead. So many have lost their lives because they didn't want to hear the voice of God. They wanted to hear what they were taught. You know, when we were raised in a society that teaches certain things, look out for yourself. You know, dog eat dog world. You know, it's a rat race. You know, you got to look out for number one. You know, and I could go on and on and on with all of the phrases and the sayings that we promote, and we even teach it to our children, you know. And boy, we got to get back. You know, we got to get back. So God has to re-educate us. And that's why we come to Sunday school. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we pray, because God has got to re-educate all of us, because we were born in a world of sin and educated in sin. And now we're just learning it a different way. So he looks for hearts that are hungry and contrite and humble and repentant. Oh, boy. Can you apologize? Can you say I'm sorry? Some of us have hard times repenting. You know, even before God, we won't. They did it. They said it first. They started it, and I finished it. That's all right. I'm not going to apologize to anybody, even God, about your behavior. But folks, when you come to a place where you're repentant, you have a heart that can change the world. And you can't do this on your own. I just want to tell you, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And that's why you pray, because the Holy Spirit binds to us when we pray. The Holy Spirit binds to you. You know, when you pray, the Holy Spirit comes along. The Holy Spirit inspires you. He inspires your living when you pray. He changes your day because you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're not so argumentative. You're not so irritable. You know, you're not so stingy, you know, because the Holy Spirit has bound to you when you pray that morning, and you're different. Through prayer, we will fulfill the word of God, which says, what the scripture teaches us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. I'm telling you, see, that's what it's about. We are his offspring. So therefore in him we live and move and we have our being in him. Not in us, in him. So that's what we want to make that come to life in our lives. And then there's a quote here I put by Alfred Tennyson, and it says, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me day and night. You know, this man was asking for people, pray for me, you know, because I know what prayer can do. So let your voice rise like a fountain for me day and night. Pray for me. Pray for me. Talk to God about me, because he's good. And when you pray, you know, things change and things happen. So again, folks, we're talking about why pray. These are the reasons. I've talked about all these people that pray, and these are the reasons that we pray. And as we go further, we talk about Jesus and prayer. You know, the life of one who prays. We talk about how Jesus prayed. And it says, Jesus Christ remains the ultimate model and master of prayer. Before choosing his disciples, Jesus spent all night in prayer to God. As they followed him, they discovered his private habit was to rise up early and pray before the sun rose. And this is from our book. Christ showed us the life of prayer and the vitality of continuous connection with the Father. He was the ultimate example. He got up because he was human. You know, he came to earth and he was human. So he had to make that connection. So they saw him rise up early, probably before they got up. You know, they just saw him. They just kind of knew he was gone in the morning. And he went to his private place so he could pray, so he could talk to his Father in the morning before he started the day. Jesus began his teachings to the people on the fundamentals on how to pray. Each chapter of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus teaches on prayer. He just always comes back to that in his teaching. He's always talking about talking to God. So as we look at that, if we kind of park here for a minute, we look at Matthew 5, and he talks about, again, prayer and relationships. Here Jesus teaches on maintaining the right relationship with others before you pray. He even taught us to pray for our enemies. Oh, man, ouch. Got to pray for them. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You see all that relationship kind of tying together? So you call yourself a child of God. So this is what I'm saying. If you do this, then you look more like your Father than when you don't do this. Because the world, anybody can hate your enemy. Anybody can do all the evil, insult for insult, curse people. Anybody can do that when you're mad. But he said, if you're going to look like your Father, then you got to pray for them. And you don't do all these things. You don't curse them, meaning you don't speak bad about them. And that's hard to not to do. You want to tell them, you know, I can't believe it. And you know another thing about them. You know what happened to them. You know, and you just go on and on because you're angry and you're mad and you're just running them down to somebody. You have to be so careful, you know, that you're not speaking curses over people. They already got a problem, especially if they're unbeliever. They already are lost. And then you, the child of God, speaks a curse over them. And Jesus tells us instead, you pray for them. Pray for them. But they despitefully used me. God, they used me on purpose. That's what that despitefully part is. It wasn't an accident. They deliberately and willfully did something to use me and to hurt me. And I'm so glad he put all these adjectives in here. Because sometimes we think we have to qualify stuff only for people that I'll pray for people that use me by accident. I'll pray for people that didn't know and they found out later. That's who I'll pray for. But Jesus makes it so plain, man. He hits us right between the eyes and he hits us where we live because he knows where we live and he knows how we think. And he says, I can't pray for them because they did it deliberately. They did it on purpose. And they hurt me, and they hurt me bad. And they wounded me. They embarrassed me. They hurt me. And therefore, I'm not. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, beloved. And he says, so you can be like your Father. So you can be like, because that's who he's like. Because doesn't he do that with us? How much we've hurt him and wounded him. We do so much to God. I said, God, I don't know how you stand us. I don't know how. But it's because of grace and because of mercy. And for us to be at a place where we want to extend it to somebody else. And Jesus teaches on that over and over again. So he says, he hits us right between the eyes when he says to love your enemies. And again, folks, it takes the Holy Spirit to do this. Okay, yes. He knows you're human. That's why he did everything he did. He taught all of this, and then he went to the cross, and he died so that you can accept him into your heart so you could do this. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to do this. Because in your humanness, you won't be able to. It's not a matter of willpower. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit. But it does take your will to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's where you come in. Your will has to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, as you do it, you'll see that the Holy Spirit will make the difference in your heart. People that I used to, could not stand. Oh, he brought such a love in my heart for people. You know, such a love in my heart. You know, and I just had the experience of going back home and, you know, just seeing a lot of things. And I saw it so differently. Now that Jesus has done a work in my life, I said, I see everything so different. I see the people there so differently. You know, I just see everybody. So people that I'm like, wow, I'm so different now. It's not an issue anymore. It's not a problem. I love you. You know, what can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I serve you? You know, and I was just so blessed that God, you've done a work. I remember when. I remember me. I remember mean Karen. I remember stingy Karen. Oh, man, you have done a work, Jesus. And I'm grateful for it. So, folks, if you want to be the sons and the daughters of your Father in heaven, this is what he asks of you to do. Let the Holy Spirit come, and it comes with that relationship. We've talked about the horizontal relationship with believers before praying, but Jesus taught that even beyond that, we must pray for our enemies. And again, our relationship with all people come into play as we pray. I believe this may be one of the major hindrances to unanswered prayers for most of us is our heart condition with others. Oh, folks, it's in the way. Jesus said it's in the way. He says it's in the way. I didn't say it. He said it. So we're thinking about, you know, I think that may be one of the major reasons why so many of us don't have answered prayers. Because he's saying, you got to get that right. You got to get that right. It's a problem. Because you know it. You know it's wrong. And you're holding to it. Wow. So it's a problem, folks. So again, we want to get that those relationships right. That's Matthew 5. Matthew 6 talks about giving and prayer. I know that's just one. That's just five. Okay. Matthew 6, it talks about giving and prayer. God sees the hearts of people who give. Those who give with a spirit of pride will be rejected in prayer. Prayer is never a platform to boast before God on what you have done or what you have given. Folks, get that one straight. It's never a platform. Prayer is not a place to bargain with God because of what you've done, folks. But rather, it is a place to submit all that you have to him. That's what prayer is for. Note the story of the two prayers of the two men in Luke 18. And I put it in your lesson, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18, 9 through 14. And this is the NIV. And it says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I'm telling you, God will exalt you if you humble yourself. And even when he exalts you, you'll still not even want to embrace that exalting because you know it's all his. It all came from him. He exalted you. So you point, just like Pastor Wilson, he point Amen. Them to God because, you know, God brought that, not me. So I got to give it back to him. And that's the mindset that you'll grow into and you'll learn and you won't want to even touch God's glory in any way. You know, don't touch his glory. You want to give it all back to him. Prayer brings you to give and to give with humility. Like these two men, you know, one boasting about all he did. He was a Pharisee. He taught in the temple and he taught the people. And, you know, I'm a religious leader and I help people get to you, God. I help people with you, God. And boy, you got to be real careful with that. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're a teacher, you know, a preacher, evangelist, whatever your title is. In the fivefold ministry gifts, or maybe you not even have a title. Got to be very careful. that the glory belongs to him. Because this, it's interesting that Jesus chose a religious leader. He didn't chose just a righteous man in town. He chose a religious leader. He chose the church people. Oh, wow. You know, the church person coming. Can you imagine you coming to the altar on a Sunday morning and then somebody behind you, you know, just all maybe just coming off the street, maybe raggedy, maybe not smelling too great, maybe got all kind of issues going on. Maybe you know something about them and something they did. Oh, boy, you don't want to be this example of God. I'm glad that I'm not like them. I'm glad you spared me that, Lord. And the other person says, God, I can't even go all the way down to the altar. I can't even get all the way down there, Lord. I'm just going to sit back here in the section, in this the high sections, because I'm just not worthy. You know, I pray, I like to, when we have prayer in the morning, I like to pray up there, you know, because I know people sit up there in those high areas and way in the back that maybe not don't feel worthy. They may not even come down to the altar because they don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy to even go down there. But Lord, if you'll touch me here, if you'll speak to me here. But they came to church and they slip in, you know, and they sit back there and they listen. You know, they may have lived like the devil all week, but they come in and they slip in and they listen, you know. So I know God just looks at the heart, and we want to be an example of having that humility with our gifts and what God has given us, that whatever we give it back to God with humility. Prayer brings you to give and give with humility. First, it brings you to give in the first place, because some of us don't even give, and then give with humility. Prayer opens your heart to God and to others. Prayer breaks through the selfish heart and allows the Holy Spirit to guide in giving. The Holy Spirit can guide you in giving. And you, in prayer, you realize, you get this revelation that all that you have came from God. Everything you have. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your home. I'm talking about the vehicle you drove here in. Everything. He blesses and he provided. He reigns on the just and the unjust, he said in Matthew 5:45. He reigns on everybody. He said, well, you know, the sinners have cars and sinners have, they don't even believe, and they got a big house and they got this, because he reigns on the just and the unjust. That's his grace and that's his mercy. But don't doubt for a minute that it all came from him. Even if, as they don't even acknowledge him, it still came from him. Even before you came to Christ, he gave you all that you have. Once you come to him, you realize the depth of his love and grace towards you, and you are moved by the Holy Spirit to give in his name. You know, I love to give. I said, Lord, I'm just going to give. I give this back. It's not much. I'm just going to give this, you know. And he'll say, I want you to do this for that one. You know, do this for that one. In my name, do it. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. And, you know, often he'll say, don't tell a soul you did it. Don't tell anybody. This is between you and me. And I love that, because we want to tell everybody, you know, I bought Mary some groceries, you know. And, you know, and sometimes back in the day, you hear people testify. And, you know, and the Lord just moved on me to buy Sister Mary some groceries. So I just went and bought her some groceries. Like, really? And Sister Mary is sitting there like, you know. I find that God is going to teach you, and he teaches you to give, and he doesn't let you tell anybody. Mm-hmm. But you know the thing about that? It creates a greater intimacy with you and God, because it's almost like you and God have a secret. Mm-hmm. Me and God, we got a secret. It's just between me and God. You know, like we did with your best friend. You and your best friend have a secret. Nobody else knows but me and my best friend. That's the way it does. It's really interesting how that happens, because it makes you get closer to God, because you and God have a secret that nobody else knows. I've had people put money in my mailbox. I mean, just my name on it. And I mean, cash. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. Cash. Somebody put cash in my mailbox one time. I have no idea who it was. To this day, I don't know who did that. Somebody put a gift card one time. A Dillard's gift card, I think, in my mailbox one time. Didn't know who it came from. It was Rose. Okay. I knew it. I kind of felt it was Rose. And never said anything. Never said anything. And I was like, Lord, who would do that? You know? But it's because that person, whoever, that praying spirit, just got this intimacy going with God. Mm-hmm. You know? So it creates this secret place that you have with God. And I am not going to try and go any further because we're going to go into the Lord's Prayer. That's going to take a minute, folks, as we go into the Lord's Prayer. And that would be, is that Matthew's? We're still in Matthew 6? No, is that Matthew 7? Matthew 6. That's still Matthew 6. So any comments or questions for anybody?
Well, you're talking about Moses.
Yeah.
My grandson, he's 18 years old, and he never talks.
Mm-hmm.
But his brother Andrew talks to everyone. He doesn't know a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, the older one, he decided God's called him to preach. And,
wow.
And he wants to go preach. And
how old is he?
18.
18?
He just turned 18.
Beautiful.
And he wanted to go to Florida to go to college because he found this Christian college.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Washington State. And my daughter said, I told him, no, I don't think you're going to go to Florida. She's telling me, you need to learn a trade. And you need to. She said, I didn't want to believe that he's called to preach because how's he going to make a living? You know, she's worried about this. And she said, and how's he even going to... I told him, how are you even going to preach? You don't even talk. You know, he's a man of few words. He doesn't talk on the phone to us. But Andrew, on the other hand, he's talking. And he goes, well, I have my brother Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can talk for me, but he's going to write the sermons. But anyway, then he got bloody stools, you know. And my daughter said, I had to humble myself and say, he's yours, God. You know, if you want him to preach, then he's not mine.
Wow.
And so that changed my daughter, you know, to give him away to God. And she said, but I don't know where to send him to college. And I said, well, ask. You know, God says
ask God. Ask. Yeah.
So she said, I asked my Bible study group to pray where to send him. And the next day she said, the coach came, because he's a wrestler, they're both wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
The coach came and said, send him to Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in Oregon, right by Washington State. And she said, Corbin means gift of God anyway.
Wow.
It's a Christian university. And lo and behold, they're going to start a wrestling program there. And Brian's been to state a few times with wrestling. But pray for him because he's still having this issue, and they think he has ulcerative colitis.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why he's bleeding. But God used that to humble my daughter, to give him away.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And boy, what a power. Thanks for sharing that. That is so powerful. And God does that sometimes.
Yeah.
He lets you know that they are mine before they were ever yours. I'm telling you, he will, you know, God will flex his muscles with you sometimes.
Yes.
And he'll show you what's his and what's not. I have found you're never too high and mighty that God can't reach you.
No, she's talking about her nephew,
grandson.
I watch a lot of talent shows, and then America's Got Talent had an artistic boy that was artistic and blind. My God, it's like anybody that thinks they're better, because this young kid opened his mouth and he sung perfectly beautiful, played the piano beautiful. I mean, it was just such a blessing
because
makes you realize, like, oh my God, God's so good. You know, your heart went out to that young kid.
Yes,
it was beautiful, and the people and the audience, and everybody was just like, and
He just made me think. Because God, he again, that's another example how he shows who are his, you know, the people that are his. Because he can put gifts in who he wants to put gifts in. You can have autism, you can be blind, but God will put gifts where he wants to put gifts. Yes. He'll put gifts where he wants to put, like, how can he do that? Because God chooses. They are his, not yours.
And then I was thinking when he did that, and not all people just were so in such awe with him, such blessings that came upon such a great amount of people in that audience that he touched. One person, he touched all those thousands of people sitting there. It was a blessing. It was really neat.
Amen. I'm telling you, we see it all around us. we see it all around us, just how great God is and how he, what is it, the scripture says, the earth declares, like this little boy, the earth declares the glory of God. I mean, we look at the beauty of the earth, you know. As I said, I just came back from Niagara Falls. It was just tremendous. I was like, oh my God, look at this, how powerful this is. You know, we look at the beauty of the earth, but we got to look at people too. And what, you're like, how in the world did they do that? Because of God. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. Rose?
I got to share a testimony about Tuesday or Wednesday night, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter called, and there was tornadoes in Kansas City. It was really bad, and it was coming right at them.
Yeah.
And she says, Nona, you need to pray. I says, well, let's pray. So we prayed. Hung up. My daughter called the same thing. We need to pray. And we all went to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I just got this peace over me. Mm-hmm. And but I was still, you know, kind of fearful in a way for them. And I said, and the Lord reminded me that he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so I just kind of just let it go. But I couldn't go to sleep because they didn't call me. The next morning, my daughter sends me a video. And that tornado was coming right at him. Before it got to my granddaughter's house, it lifted.
Oh, wow.
It went over my daughter's house.
It jumped.
Came down again.
And oh, it my God.
And,
oh, can you see his hand?
I know.
Picking it up just, and moving it.
Just moved it. Just,
that's amazing.
Totally just.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
It just amazing.
Yes.
God is good.
Yeah. That they'll show and everything's all the homes are down, like you know, just down. And there's one or two homes standing there, and I'm like, you know, it's God.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's praying.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it just skips. Well, you know, little homes like that, and they're close. And it's just, you know, it's like you said, you know, it's gone.
And, you know, my daughter's been there 15, 16 years. She's never called scared or anything, but this thing was coming right at her.
Yes.
It was coming.
Yes. Wow.
God is so good.
Yes. There's not much you can do with those tornadoes, man. Except take cover. Thank you for sharing that, Rose. Anybody else?
God is good.
God is good. Israel. Yeah.
Prayers get answered so many times.
Yeah. Yes.
Sister Karen. I know. I want to know if I'm wrong. I would like to know. But when I have a really concern about something, and I just, you know how we all cry out to the Lord. I don't know what comes. Instead of saying, I know Abba, Father. I say, Mama. I always, you know, it just comes out. And my husband says, why do you holler to Mama? And I said, what? To me, my father, I love my father. Best dad I've ever, you know, I have. And but he was quiet. And who do you tell all your secrets to if it's not your mother? I mean, everything, you know. So when I come to the Father and I have this heavy burden on me, I cry to Mama, not to my mother. I cry to the Lord. He's my mother. Am I right or?
Well, you know, and I always have to go to Scripture and look at Scripture and what Scripture says. And I what came to mind when you were saying that, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You know, I believe God can be totally mama and totally daddy. He's a spirit.
Because he's a mother because of his nature and his nurturing, and he's also our father. You know, he's firm.
Yes.
But he's both.
Yeah.
The scripture also that says, oh, Jerusalem,
wish to gather you under my wing as a hen, which is female, does her brood, but you would not.
Right.
You know, so there's references to God as in that female sense. Now, and more than anything, God made mothers, and God made mothers came out of God. Eve came out of God. God created Eve. You know, He created Adam and he created Eve. He created, and God creates everything in pairs. You look, God creates things in pairs, but he is the one true God that has all of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to say that there's no mother in God, then where did mother come from?
Mm-hmm.
It came from him, you know, so it's there. He's got that nurturing spirit, and I know God nurtures. God nurtures, like, I mean, as he said, when my mother forsakes me, the Lord will take me up. And mom is a nurturer. So those that don't have a mom, they can go to God, and he will nurture them just like mom would nurture them. You know, father, I believe, is used for God because father is the head. Father is the, is, and that's God's order, that father is the head. You know, and because of that, because Father is the supreme one, that's why we call him Father, you know, and we say Father. But I believe that God can knows everything there is to know about woman because he made woman, and he put her together, and he fashioned her, and, you know, he gave her to Adam. He made us in pairs, and he put so much in her, and he put so much in him. And, you know, men and women are different, you know, but when you, but the, and I believe all that he is could not be in man, and all that he is couldn't be in woman. So he made it in pairs. But everything came from him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, that's my take. Anybody else have any other opinions
like
on that?
The movie, The Shack.
Yeah.
We all watched The Shack.
Yeah.
Well, the lady that played Jesus was a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I mean,
well, that played
was,
God. The one
I mean,
that played God was, yeah.
When I was watching that, I didn't think of
her. Yeah, some people had issue with it, but I didn't. I said because in the, yeah. And in the movie, that's what he needed.
Yeah.
Because he was carrying around this hurt and this pain, and he needed a nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I saw that God was a woman, because he needed someone to cook him a good meal and to minister to and to nurture him. But later in the movie, he was a man.
Yeah.
When it came
Chinese
to
man.
Needing that, yeah, Chinese man. Because later on, he was a man because he needed that. He needed the strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He needed the strength of a father.
Yeah.
You know, later on to do that, to make the coffin for his little girl and to take her bones and bury it. That's something a dad would do because a dad has that emotional strength.
Yeah.
So it was like God was all things that that man needed. And that's the way I saw it. I, you know, some people had issues. I said, I didn't have an issue with that at all. I said, because I see. I said, because if you're going to make God totally male, then where did we come from?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we fit in as women? Where do we come from?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, yeah, I come from him. He made me, so I have to. I've got to be in there somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that, I hope that answers your question.
Just keep crying to mama.
Yeah. I think that's
and
your personal relationship
you know,
with
my
God.
My mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was strict, and she did the spanking.
Mm-hmm.
She did mm-hmm. all the spanking. My dad. He was like a little angel, like a little saint, you know. and, you know, and he never spanked, he never argued, he never, mm-hmm. you know, put you down or anything, you know. You just knew, I just knew what my dad was thinking.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But my mom did all, everything. She did the spanking, set us straight, and everything. I don't know why I say mama, but like I said, I'm not thinking, when I'm doing that, I'm not thinking of my mother. I'm just thinking that
mm-hmm.
you, with the mother, you just tell them everything.
Right.
And you know
and
what?
That's why I say that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that speaks of your personal mm-hmm. relationship
yeah.
with him,
yeah.
you know, is like
yeah,
that.
Because he does. You know, he scolds us.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
he rebukes us.
Yeah. yeah.
And, you know, he's always gives us a conscience.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing or saying
yeah.
something wrong and...
And you know, it's something, and it's something you might just want to talk to God. Why? Because he
yes,
knows why.
I have.
Yeah, ask
yeah.
him. Yeah, if you have, he's like, why do I call? And he'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes God will get really deep with you.
Yeah.
God, why do I always, and you fill in that blank. And you go into prayer and you talk to him about that. And boy, you'd be amazed at the things he'll tell you, because you do it for this reason. Because you need this and you need that. Or this happened or that happened. You know, and he'll just really minister some deep things to you about you. As I said, we're talking about that inner circle piece that we talked about. You and God, and talking about something that's just so private and personal between you and God concerning you.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your love, your kindness, Lord God. We just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you go with us. Lord, we pray that we would cultivate a relationship with you, Lord God. You said, draw near unto God and you'll draw near to us. Lord, I pray we would draw near. That we would, Lord, come, Lord, past the distractors, Lord God, and that we would take charge, oh Lord, in our lives and cultivate our prayer life, that we would do it on purpose. And Lord, that it wouldn't be a passive thing, it would be an active thing, a thing that we work at, a thing that we find as the center of our life, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And I pray, Lord God, again, that this word, that the word, oh, Lord, bring revelation into the heart, Lord, that it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that you sent it forth to do, Lord God. Oh, Lord, move on us. Keep us, strengthen us by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.